Welcome to Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito from Private Vista. In this podcast, we draw from years of experience as well as guest specialists to help you create the life you imagine. Join us in this journey as we enlighten and empower you to align your lifestyle to help you achieve your goals with a clear picture of your future. Now, let's get to the show.
And welcome to the Dollars and Cents podcast with your host, Nicole Romito. Nicole, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I might have a little lower energy level than our listeners are used to. I'm just on the tail end of a cold, so just thought I would disclose that up front.
Well, the beauty is you don't sound like you're on the tail end of a cold, so
that's good. That is good. So maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
No, you know, now we know you're handicapped for this podcast, okay?
So yes,
if you make
exactly.
any mistakes, we'll just blame it on the cold meds.
So I love it.
What's on the table today?
Well, I think as you know, Bill, and my listeners, I always get really excited when I have some of my fabulous colleagues in studio with me today.
Yep.
And that is the case. And it's even more exciting because I am welcoming back both of my partners to the podcast. I've got Steve Merdinger and Jeff Toner here with me today. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Thanks for coming back. So I guess I did okay the first time that I got you back in here with me. I appreciate it. And what we're going to talk about today is something that all three of us have gone through personally and have also helped clients kind of navigate through as well. And what that is we're going to do a two-part series on how to really just kind of approach, think about, and then navigate when you are in the position of having to talk about a parent or parents not being able to, you know, live on their own anymore. And before we go into that, though, for our listeners, I just want to give a brief bio on Steve and Jeff. Steve's been a financial planner since the mid-80s, helping people to consider priorities for themselves and their families, and then working with them to turn their hopes and dreams into reality. Before he started his career in financial planning, Steve worked in his family's business, and that gave him a much more personal understanding of the financial dynamics of family-owned businesses, including succession planning and helping business owners to turn their equity into cash. Our other partner who is here with us today is Jeff Toner, and he also began his financial service career in the mid-80s. At the onset of his career, Jeff did not know what a fiduciary was or what a financial planner did, but he did know he wanted to help people with their finances and to achieve their life's goals. Jeff has been with his clients in moments of great joy and cried with them during their times of sadness. He has taught and educated, but more importantly, Jeff has also been taught and learned from his clients as well. And I think that's a great kind of segue into our topic today. You know, we highlighted in Jeff's bio that not only has he and all of us had the pleasure and the privilege of being with our clients during the wins in life, but all of us have also walked side by side during the inevitable bumps in the road or downturns that life brings us as well. We are going to do a two-part episode on this topic. On this first one, we are going to try and stay kind of highlight or discuss, you know, how do you start the conversation? What are the emotional sides? What are kind of some of the changing in roles? And, you know, kind of things to consider on that. And then in part two, we'll get more into kind of the logistics of when you're having to evaluate, you know, do you bring care into the home? Is it time to look at facilities and all the things that go with that? So I think, you know, as we were talking about this to prepare for this podcast, one of the things, and I think, Jeff, you brought this up, so maybe if you want to start us off, is oftentimes when this is happening, there's a trigger event, and that's really what's causing our clients, or I think to the degree we're all comfortable, we're going to kind of share how we personally went through this, or we can share with client stories. So do you want to start us off on that, Jeff?
Sure. The first thing I'd say just about this issue is it looks differently, you know, for different people. So there's not going to be just one track, or there's not going to be one story that you say, okay, when this happens, this is what you should do. It's very personal. It's very different for each situation. There's some things in common in terms of issues to deal with, but you know, I think it. The first thing I would say is it's more art than science. So I think you have to, you know, just take that in mind when you start to try to figure this stuff out. I'd say the second thing I would say is that, you know, it's one of those things that I think all of us, as we were growing up, you know, we try to start taking care of ourselves. You know, that was a big deal for some of us. Then as we kind of got older, you know, if you got married and had kids, you're taking care of your kids. But the one thing that never really occurred to me, you know, until it started to happen was, you know, that the responsibility for taking care of your, in this case, parent, was something that was going to be presented to me. And so it's one of those things, at least from an emotional perspective, it kind of came out of left field. And I wasn't necessarily confident or comfortable with, you know, the role that I started to have to take on, just because, you know, you always thought about your parents as the people that knew what they were doing, and you kind of looked up to them. And so then there was kind of a natural order to things that as you go through this process, you know, that gets upended. So the first thing I'd say to the people that are listening to this is it's normal to be a little bit off kilter, you know, to feel like, am I doing this right? What am I missing? I think if you talk to anybody who's gone through these things, I think you'll see a lot of empathy from those people saying, you know, it's hard. It's hard to do.
Yeah. It's a lot, you know, right?
It's a lot. And you don't know what's coming. You don't know when it's coming. And you had talked about just triggering events. You know, in my case, my dad passed away when he was 82. So my mom was around that age as well. And my mom just passed away in April of this year. So she lived another over 13 years without my dad around. So the triggering event really was, in essence, when my dad died. So way back when, things that had been normal for so long, all of a sudden, you know, there wasn't a spouse in place.
Yeah.
My dad was the guy that took care of all the bills and did all the financial work. So even though you may have people that are healthy at that point, the role could change fairly quickly when one of the spouses die, because it brings up a lot of questions. And then obviously there's some practical sides that may need to be addressed as well. So triggering events could be lots of different things. I think people think about health, you know, declining health. It could be a death of a first spouse. It could be a number of things. But in my case, it really was probably the passing of my father, which made me step in to handle some things that I hadn't historically been handling.
Yeah, no. And thank you for sharing. I appreciate you sharing your personal story. I know for me, my mom passed first, and that was about 8 years ago. And so my dad had traditionally or historically handled the finances and things like that. But I will say that the triggering event there was he finally, you know, opened up and said, hey, let's sit down and, you know, we'll walk you through all the finances and things like that. And then I was more concerned with him from like the social aspects and him taking care of himself from a health perspective. And I know, Jeff, you and I both were doing this with our parents living out of state. So not next door, if you will, which adds another layer of complication. Now, Steve, if I'm recalling correctly, your father passed away many years ago, correct?
Yeah, I think my situation is sort of similar to Jeff's, but the timeline's a little bit more spread out, right?
And
the family situation was when I was growing up, probably in my teens, my grandmother had gone through much the same thing. So, and my father, one of three, was the one primarily responsible for her. And she, back in those days, was in a nursing home. So I had seen some of it, but not really experienced any of it. And then my dad, who was which was typical, as Jeff said, back in the day, you know, very often it was the man, the husband who took care of all the finances. So he passed away 25 years ago. So he was only 70. So, and my mom passed away recently in 93. So we had a long run, and things changed slowly but quickly at some point. So the slower part was the financial stuff was kind of immediate, where, and then as Jeff didn't talk about, but I know he's one of a bunch of kids. There are four of us. So we had the family dynamics of who's going to be responsible and how does that work out as well. So at the end of the day, I was the one who took responsibility for helping her get bills paid. And over time, it became more obvious that there were other things in terms of financial issues that we had to deal with. I mean, one of the other things that we saw was, I don't know if it falls into elder abuse, but certainly in the world today, elderly people are being targeted for financial scams. So whether it was the stuff she'd sign up for on the internet, where it was pick your number, $50 a month for the rest of your life for something that had no value, or the day I got a call that she needed X number of dollars because my nephew was in jail and she had to get him out. So, you know, I think as we get older, elderly people are targets for that as well. And then eventually it became obvious that, you know, living on her own, the social part in the wintertime, she's 80 something years old in a house where she can't really go out even if she wanted to safely. So the more isolated that she got, the bigger the issues got. And, you know, culminating with then she fell in her garage. She had one of the help me, I can't get up buttons, but of course she wouldn't wear it. So, you know, the scary part for us was that happened. It had to even be scarier for her because at the end of the day, she had to crawl to, I mean, the whole thing was just a disaster. And
terrible.
So that was the triggering event, saying, look, you at that point, she had given me power of attorney, and the conversation, you're having the conversation with your parent who's really now, it's a conversation, Jeff, it's like having a conversation with one of your children. You gave me power of attorney for a reason. And I think part of that reason was that you thought at some point you wouldn't be able to make decisions, and you're trusting me to do that. And so this is kind of a decision I think we need to be moving towards, where it's not safe for you to be here alone. So, next steps are, what do we do and how do we integrate that type of stuff? So I think, as Jeff said, there are a lot of commonalities. Every situation can be a little bit different, driven by your family, the financial, your relationship with your parent. But at the at some point, you do reach these sort of crossroads where you have to kind of move in that direction.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you just, we could go nine different ways from everything that you just shared. But I think if we take a step back and even talk about, you mentioned, hey, mom, you made me power of attorney for a reason. And, now we're living that reason, or that reason has become reality. Why don't we, if you guys don't mind, either share how the conversations went, with your folks, or if we even just want to kind of talk generally. I know all of us here at Private Vista have these conversations with our clients who, kind of are at the same part of life that the three of us are. I mean, I know a lot of my, even if it's a social event, we're talking about, hey, how's it going with your mom? Have you gotten over the hump about, moving out of the house? Ooh, it's time to take the car keys away. I know one thing I think everyone will agree on And it's rare to say it these days, but no one likes to give up control, right? So I know when I was talking with my dad, I was trying to be like, Nicole, put yourself on the other side of the phone, if you will. And how would you feel, or how would you best receive, you know, this idea or this, you know, I don't know if recommendation's the right word, but maybe if one of you guys wants to start off with kind of that, how can we share with our listeners, knowing, and I agree that there is no one size fits all solution or recommendation, but what are maybe some things to consider about when you're thinking, I think it's time to start having some of these conversations? And maybe we even start about, I know Jeff, you're ready to jump in, but maybe the timing, right? You know, it's probably not in the time when Steve, just to circle back to your story, not when mom's lying on the garage floor. So right.
And that was what I was going to say. I mean, one of the things that I, you know, through what we do with clients and personally, I would say a lesson that I've learned is that initial conversation should happen before there's an issue.
Yeah.
Like ideally, I also think the people that are in their 70s and 80s owe it to their children to open that conversation up and say, listen, we should probably talk about these things so that when and if this happens, that we at least we're comfortable enough to bring it up to each other, and we trust each other enough to bring this up.
Right.
I think I don't see that happen very often, but you know, I think it would go a long way to allowing for, you know, healthy conversations between generations. You know, my kids who are in their early 30s now, and I'm in my early 60s, you know, watched the last few years of what we had to go through with my mother.
Yeah.
And I've said to them as a result of that is, listen, I'm hopeful that I don't have dementia. And I'm hopeful I don't have to go through those things. But if I do, I want you guys to feel comfortable that I trust your instincts. I trust you will do what is best for us. But I think getting that out there before there's a crisis is a healthy thing to do. And then I think the other hard part about this, Nicole, is it's not like a light switch. You don't go from independent and vibrant to dependent. And so that's the hard part, is the timing of all these things. Because what I have generally seen, whether it was with my own parents or clients, is it's a degradation over time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what may be okay at the beginning of a year, you know, by the fall of that year may not be okay. And you had mentioned, like, to me, there's a couple of hot buttons that every older person seems to chomp at the bit. But the car is a great example.
Yes.
I mean, the car represents a lot of things to people. But independence and control and
freedom,
that's all embedded in that. And I would say with a lot of those other decisions, you know, where you live, do you need care? Who brings you to the doctor? Who's in charge of the checkbook? All those things at some level have those same issues that you just brought up about freedom and independence and control. And so the way I typically try to do it when I'm working with clients is, one, acknowledge the fact that this is a possibility for all of us. So if you do that while everybody's healthy, I think everyone rationally could say, yes, we understand this is a possibility. The second thing you can do is to set up things in a way that it's easier for someone to step in, you know, side by side instead of total control. You know, you can allow someone to have signature authority on a checkbook. You can allow someone to have a limited power of an attorney to be able to call their financial people and have a discussion. So there's things that you could do that would, in a sense, you know, not turn the switch and say, hey, you have absolutely no ability to deal with any of it forever. You know, what we try to do is set things up so that someone can step in when and if something were to occur. And then obviously the third step is when it becomes clear that someone needs that on a permanent basis. You know, Steve mentioned things like, you know, power of attorneys and things that really you're taking over. I think those things should be set up as well. But I think we're in a perfect position to help people because we plan for their retirement. We plan for a lot of things. To me, this is just another planning aspect of saying, here's what we should set up so that if something like this comes along, we're prepared for it. It shouldn't be threatening. It's just, it's a good way to do things.
Yeah, and I would add on a little bit. I would agree that the sooner that you can have that sort of discussion, I think it's always going to be better because the conversation that we often have with clients is, what you want to avoid is the fire drill, right? We want to avoid something happened. Now I've got to make a decision now and get it done. And I think, you know, I would agree with, you know, everybody's rational saying we agree this is all, you know, that's all fine. I think where the snag comes up is agreeing on what that point is where it's not fine anymore. Because, you know, it's largely independence, right? Whether it's living in your own home or driving the car or paying the bills. So again, to the extent you can make that a more seamless transaction or seamless transition, it's going to be easier for everybody. And that's, you know, I would agree that's the earlier you have that conversation and, you know, what does that look like and when should we start thinking about it? And then actually when it becomes apparent to me or the child that, hey, we're kind of reaching that point, how can you do it without it being threatening? And what's the rationale in terms of, is it really your independence? I mean, understanding that's what I think most people are thinking, but is it also safety and those sorts of issues? I mean, we dealt with it a little bit, my dad but he didn't require care, but he was at home and it was a slower process. My mom, we had a little bit of exposure to it because she had a heart attack probably 10 years ago. So when she was back home, she needed some people coming in, and that started the conversation of, hey, is this really the best place? You use three rooms out of a 10-room house and stairs and light bulbs. And so we ought to be thinking about what that looks like. And so we had some of those, but I think still at the end when it's, you know, the decision of where do you make that transition, that is the challenging part, right?
Yeah, I agree. And one thing I would add on too is by having the conversation before you've even gotten to kind of this crossroads is then the parents were, you know, the parent gets to be part of the decision and they're making the decision, right? So I like that by bringing everyone into the conversation, everyone can kind of share their thoughts and maybe their ideas, but also too kind of their fears and or concerns that they have. I know that was a big one for me with my dad living out of state. I have one sister, she lives in a different state. So that we couldn't stop by, you know, every night to have dinner with my dad or just to stop by to see how he's doing or what state the house is in and things like that. But it was really just saying, hey, Dad, we want you to be part of the decision. If we wait till when we are in crisis, then, you know, most likely you're not going to have any say in this. And we're making a decision from far away and just in the heat of the moment. And so that kind of helped at least, I think, be like, okay, yeah, we can talk about, at least open the door so that he was willing to talk about it with us.
I think one thing that we just have to acknowledge, because it's one of those, you know, I think there's still some taboo around, you know, talking about parents and when they're going to die.
Well, right, because it's like my dad said, you're trying to lock me up in the home, aren't you, honey?
Right. Right. So there's still, I think we have to recognize that it's awkward. Like it's going to feel
for everyone,
for right. everybody. But in spite of that, I still think it's much better to have the conversation than not to have the conversation. So I would just say you have to you might want to do a little homework, write down a few, you know, questions that you want to make sure get covered so you don't get dissuaded too quickly. You know, I think an important part is how you open it up. You know, I'm doing this out of love. I want to make sure your voice is heard. I want to understand that, you know, what your preferences would be. So I think a lot of it has to do with how you do open up that conversation. I said this a few minutes ago, knowing what I know now, I think it should be the older parent should take the onus to open these conversations up. That would be easier to do than the child having to do it.
Right.
But I still think it doesn't get opened up that often. And then the child is left probably having to open it up. So, but I would really encourage you to do it so that you're in a better place than if you're doing that fire drill.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, anything you wanted to add on to that conversation thread or?
No, I think we pretty much have killed that one. And in terms of, I think we all agree that the sooner you can do it, the better. If the parent could bring it up, that'd be great. But I think my experience is it's more often us, the child that's kind of broaching the subject, and people are going to be more or less receptive to it. So in a perfect situation, they are. And regardless, the sooner you have that conversation, the easier it'll be. Doesn't mean it'll be easy in any event, whether it's the car or the residence or you name the thing that might need to
name
change.
Yeah, name the thing. Right. Yeah, so I think this is kind of a good place to wrap up this part of our conversation. And I think the one thing that to kind of share with our listeners is, you know, Jeff, Steve, and I have been doing this for many, many decades. One of the things that kind of jumped out at me is, you know, the three of us certainly help our clients and we coach them on how to have these conversations. But I think our listeners probably picked up on, you know, it still was a struggle for all three of us as well. So there's no easy way to have this conversation. And I agree with Jeff and Steve, there's no right way because each family is unique. Each family, you know, has a different set of circumstances. But I do agree. I think the one kind of key takeaway that Jeff mentioned is put some thought into it about how you want to broach the conversation. It's most likely uncomfortable, certainly awkward for everyone who's having it. But think about how, and I think I was talking to Steve and Jeff about this before we started recording, is kind of try to put yourself on the other side of the table and be like, how would I best receive this? Or how could I hear this so I could be as open as possible? So
I would add one thing, Nicole.
Yeah, please do.
I mean, the other benefit would be to the extent that you have other siblings, if everybody in that group is on the same page, it makes the conversation with the parent a lot easier. So it's not you or me or Jeff going and say, hey, this is the way it's got to be. It's going to, in our case, it was three out of the four that agreed in the beginning. So, the more buy-in we were able to get from the rest of us, the easier it was to have that conversation with our mom.
I think that's a great point, Steve. And I am going to say, let's dive into that a little deeper when we come back with part two of this conversation. So thank you for bringing that up. And I know Jeff and I certainly will want to join in on that as well. So with that, we're going to take a break. And then we listeners, we're going to be coming back with part two of this conversation where we'll not only talk about, you know, if there's siblings or other family members or perhaps close friends that are going to be involved. And we are going to get in a little more into the logistics of how if your parent cannot receive care in the home or it just doesn't make sense, you know, for them to be in the home, how can you investigate the other options or solutions that are out there?
Yeah, Nicole, this is a really fascinating conversation. And I have to admit, I'm listening to this from a personal perspective because I went through this with my father, my sisters and I did.
Okay,
and so,
yeah, so
you know, what's
there.
What's weird though now is I'm sitting here listening to this conversation and thinking, wait a minute, I'm going to have to instigate. I'm going to have to initiate this conversation with my kids at some point.
Right.
And it feels very different thinking about it that way. And so, you know, I'm going to be listening for part two because yeah, there's no way this conversation is ever going to not be awkward or weird. I mean, I tried to make it funny with my dad, you know, it didn't work. So what can I tell you? Nicole, for people who are listening and they want to reach out to you all, what is the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah, I would say there's two ways. They can go to our website, and on our homepage, there's a contact us button. So you can just complete your personal information there, reference this episode. Any of us are happy to talk with you. If something, you know, that Jeff said or Steve said or I said resonated more than not, you know, you can just put in there, you know, please have Jeff or Steve give me a call. We can do that. Or you can call our office at 312-831-4370 and then ask for any of us and you can be connected.
That's great. And for those of you who are listening who are like maybe in a car or you're not able to write anything down, don't worry about it. The information's in the show notes. So you can go there after you're done listening to the episode. The other thing I would encourage you to do is that if you're not already a subscriber, just hit the follow button. That's easy. And the beauty of that is when you're a subscriber, you're notified when the next episode will drop. So you will be able to immediately know episode two or part two of this episode will be available for you to listen. So I would encourage you to do that. And if you find this conversation useful, informative, helpful, I would encourage you to share it with other people and tell them that you like the podcast and that they might find it useful as well, because word of mouth promotion is invaluable and we would very much appreciate it. So until next time, I'm Bill Tucker on behalf of Nicole and everybody at My Private Vista. Thank you for taking the time to listen and we'll catch you on part two.
Thank you for listening to the Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, sponsored by Private Vista. Visit our website at www.myprivatevista.com or give us a call at 312-831-4370. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Private Vista is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced. Such data and other information are subject to changes without notice. This was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC or any of its affiliates.